in the Archers tonight at 7. David's plan backfires. In our drama in a moment, a rather shady educational company wants to do a deal with a university.
In a brand new series,
it's a very loud bang.
One curious artist,
someone's coming,
visits the workplace of another.
Hello, Naomi.
Well, welcome to the studio.
For an encounter between two distinct creative worlds.
Yes, you've got quite an array of technology. You've got a projector, you've got consoles, you've got all sorts of consoles.
Only artists.
So it's a sort of all-inclusive hub of art.
The conversation begins tomorrow morning at 9.
I've got a bicycle, what should I do with
it? You should bring it in here.
On BBC Radio 4.
Right,
there we go. In 45 minutes, we'll be tasting olives, getting under the skin of rice pudding and hearing confessions about inventive dill repurposing, all on the kitchen cabinet at 3. But now, our comedy series about the worst university in Britain. In recognition of his recruitment achievements in China, Jim has been promoted to makeshift vice-chancellor.
So why you gotta act like you know when you don't know?
Hiya, by Steve May.
It's okay. If you don't know everything, why you gotta act like you know when you don't know? It's okay if you don't know everything.
Vice Chancellor, very good of you to see me at short notice.
Mr. Liversalt, please call me Makeshift.
Makeshift? It's got a ring to it. I've got a ring too.
Well, that's mildly interesting.
There is a story behind it.
Not now.
So very good of you to let me introduce myself in the Pull-Through Corporation.
Please go ahead, but not at too great a length, since I am a very busy man.
By the way, since you don't seem curious, these are my incredibly smooth and well-shaven associates.
Help yourself to biscuits.
That's very kind.
Hamilton Liversalt III is a creativity guru.
Guru, and that's you?
Yes.
So might you speak in the first rather than third person?
I am Hamilton Liversalt III, whose inspirational Fred talks have inspired a nation.
Not this nation, and certainly not Haber University, where we have no lessons to learn in creativity.
Haber University is central to our plans, with whose previous vice-chancellor I had extensive ongoing relations.
Yes, had many, and much good did it do them.
But the difference being, I'm an ex-quarterback who nearly played in the NFL, and that's the origin of my freshman ring.
Congratulations. Can we move on?
The Pull-Through Corporation specializes in public-private partnership and the recruitment of international students.
Well, let me stop you there. Haber University has an excellent recent track record of international recruitment and globalization.
Yeah, you hooked up with a couple of thousand hookers from Shanghai, so I read.
So we have no need of your gimmicks.
Running an international school can be harder than it looks.
Well, I'm very happy to give you some advice at a price.
Keeping the global students happy, keeping the home students happy, keeping the quality bods happy, keeping the border agency happy, that's a lot of plates to spin. And we at Pull-Through have vast and deep experience. Deep and vast. Look at my ring. You know you want to.
Why are your eyes so mesmerizingly icy and blue?
Because I preach the truth, and you can trust me. It's that simple.
I can feel my heart tugging at my head like a small impulsive child tugging its mother's pinafore.
You work with Pull-Through and get the reassurance of mother's milk flowing through your organization. Here's our brochure.
Oh, well, that's why your logo is a massive breast.
It's actually Mount Olympus.
Oh, dear. I have so many fears and insecurities.
If it makes you happier, we can sign an agreement right now. I have one in my inside pocket prepared for your predecessor.
Is that possible without thorough consultation?
Of course. We always post-consult.
I haven't got a pen.
Here's a special Super Bowl biro.
And yet I hesitate.
Jim, I don't want to force you.
You're not forcing me.
The worst thing a quarterback can do is force a play.
Worse than getting injured and ruining your career.
Much worse. Because to me, that tragic injury about which I've written two best-selling misery memoirs was like a big play call from the very mouth of God, asking me, hey, which direction is your life going? Whereas forcing a play is a sin of pride.
Oh, I'll do it. I'll do it. Let us sign the deed and get into bed at once.
Jim, Makeshift, you wanted to see me.
Karen? No, Where am I?
Jim, you seem disorientated.
Makeshift Jim was just about to sign this mutually binding agreement with a pull-through corporation.
Jim, put that pen aside for a moment.
Come on, Jim, don't delay.
Yes, I'd better do it now.
What's the hurry?
The pull-through corporation has its tendrils in many an orifice worldwide, and we can only support a certain number of operations globally.
So if someone else signs up, we're out?
A good quarterback has to keep up with the play clock or you lose a down.
Isn't that just like forcing a play?
No, that's quite different.
It's just a little ink on a little piece of paper.
It's not a little piece of paper, it's a huge document. Have you read it all, Jim?
Not entirely.
Don't you think you should?
Why?
Because that's what a responsible leader is expected to do.
Throw away the chance of a lifetime. Go on, why don't you?
You have worked so hard to get where you are. Why on earth throw it away on a random impulsive moment?
Sign? Why should I? Everything's going swimmingly here, isn't it, Karen?
Yes, of course it is, up to a point.
What point is that?
Well, we are having some problems with our international students.
Well, that's very understandable and calm.
Well, the trouble is, they don't speak
Karen,
very good...
Karen, that's enough. What starts in our laundry stays in our laundry. Liversalt, leave us.
For now. But this is just the first quarter. Here, have my latest inspirational book and two videotapes on a generous sale or return basis.
Don't forget your strangely muted associates.
Associates? Come.
Goodbye, sir. Great cookies.
What piercing eyes, all of them.
Hamilton Liversalt III, the touchdown pass to successful international recruitment and student management.
Let's have a look.
No, me first.
Is that really a video?
Yes, Betamax.
Mm-hmm. Was he a Baptist?
No, a quarterback. Trying to tell me how to do my job.
Well, you have only been in the post for a week.
And a lifetime of preparation. Makeshift. Say it.
Makeshift.
Now, chapter 3. Calling the right plays.
Is it useful?
Of course not. And all is well with you?
Well, if you really want to know...
No, I don't.
I do need to talk to you about our new Chinese students.
Oh, yes. Well, talk as much as you like. All 4,000 of them, all recruited single-handed by me. Up yours, Liversalt! Trying to belittle me.
I was with you on the recruitment voyage, but let that pass. There are some emerging problems.
Chapter 4. Don't bring me problems, bring me solutions.
There have been a lot of complaints.
Well, haven't we got a complaints officer?
Yes, Dr. Spitznogel. Dr. Flapperty Spitznogel.
Well, let Dr. Flapperty Spitznogel deal with it.
She already has.
Good. Is she the one who wears floaty dresses?
Of a sort.
Young Dr. Flapperty Spitznogel.
She dresses young, but her age is older than she appears.
Make a note.
But to be honest...
Oh, please don't do that. We all need our dreams.
I am finding it all a bit stressful, especially now these new Chinese students have just done their first assignments.
Karen, can we rewind this conversation?
I am trying my hardest to nurture them and to make their experience a good one.
Karen... When I ask you, is everything all right with you, I do not expect a complete and honest answer. I don't want touchy-feely. I've done touchy-feely.
Ooh, you had your feelies burned in Shanghai, didn't you?
Zip it. What I expect from you is to put on a brave face and give me reassurance, even if unfounded.
In which case, everything is fine and dandy.
Good. Excellent. Do we have a Betamax player?
No, but 88% of our new Chinese students have failed their first official assessments.
You have no idea what a real problem is, Karen.
I think I do.
Oh, no, you don't. If you miserable minions could only see things from my loftier perspective...
This is a real problem.
People think that a vice-chancellor just knocks back complimentary drinks at innumerable tedious soirees with local politicians and potential benefactors and then makes vacuous pronouncements. But that's only half of it. What was your problem again?
88% of our new Chinese students have failed their first assessments.
Failed? Failure? So what? Liversalt, chapter 6, the value of failure. Yes. Hang on. Here it is in black and white. Yeah. It's vital in these real-world days that we inculcate and accustom our students to the concept and experience of failure. Because only by testing the foothills of failure do we learn to conquer the Olympus of academic achievement. You see, there's Olympus on the cover.
Looks more like a breast.
It's a mountain.
That's all very well.
It's better than very well. It's poetry.
But if our valued Chinese students fail their assignments, then they aren't entitled to be enrolled on our academic courses. So their student visas are invalid and they aren't allowed to stay in the country. And we're in trouble with the border agency and we have to pay all their fees back.
Get the assignments remarked.
That's not ethical.
remarked by a team of markers more in tune with the globalisation agenda.
What about the Quality Assurance Agency?
Oh, Karen, with our vast income from these Chinese students, we can afford to buy the blessed QAA off if necessary. Why are you standing there like a spare price tag?
You asked to see me.
Ah, yes, that. As makeshift, it's vital that I concentrate on the bigger picture.
All right, I'll leave you to it.
Wait. I'm formulating big plans for the university, prior to my meeting tomorrow with the senior management team. Bastards!
Have you had your get-to-know-you meetings with them yet?
Get-to-what meetings?
Get-to-know-you meetings. That's the way I would have done it.
What do you know about it?
Well, look. Look here in your book. Chapter 8, Leadership and Management.
Where?
There. The benefits of getting to know your team.
Meetings? With people?
Yes.
Ooh, I prefer to plough a lone furrow.
In which case, I'll leave you to luxuriate in your exalted entity.
But before you go...
What?
What strategic plans do you think a new makeshift vice-chancellor should put together to make sure he or she doesn't appear a stupid, craven failure in the eyes of thwarted and vengeful colleagues?
Not a failure.
No, I never said I was. That was he or she, not me.
The grease of the vaulting pole of ambition is oozing through your grasping white knuckles.
I need your help to cling on.
Are you crying?
Please, do you want me to beg?
I'm a nothing, aren't I? Can't Mr. Makeshift handle it?
No, I'm too anxious and worried and racked with doubt.
Chapter 11, Imposter Syndrome.
Oh, yes. It's as though I'm standing on the roof of the temple, but there is no roof. I'm hovering in midair like some cartoon dog, nothing holding me up but my own wildly circling legs.
And you've got your first senior management strategy meeting coming up.
Yes, tomorrow. And I need to impress them with my grasp of strategy.
Okay. Well, you don't need to be very bright to develop a strategy.
Maybe that's right. Maybe I'm too intelligent and aware of the fuzzy logic of the world.
Most university strategic plans have four prongs.
Good. Where's my iPad? Prong.
And prong again.
Yes, I've got that.
Usually it's something like excellence in teaching and research.
Yes, slow down. How do you spell excellence? No, got it. And the
quality of the student experience.
Well, that's the same as excellence, isn't it?
I am just telling you what most universities say they're going to do.
All right.
Charge more for originality.
Just give me the basics.
And then there's globalisation.
Ah, now we've done that. Lots of Chinese, good.
And then there's real world, good graduate level jobs.
Oh, thank you. Your reward will be in heaven. That will be all, and please remember I may not always be as available as I would like due to the importance of my role, and sometimes I may forget to whom I am indebted. Come.
Good morning, makeshift.
Who the devil are you?
Dr. Spitznogel.
Ah, Dr. Spitznogel. Are you a woman?
Yes. Why?
Just checking. Did we have an appointment?
Do you want to make an issue of it?
By no means. Please sit down and cross your legs.
I'll be in touch.
I think you'd better stay, Miss Poynter.
You can trust Jim.
Who stays and who goes, that's for me to decide, not you, Dr. Spitznogel.
Miss Poynter is aware of information relevant to the substance of our meeting, and so her presence will save considerable time and duplication of effort.
Very well, Karen, stay. But both of you, be aware I am neither backing down nor caving in. I am simply managing in a responsive fashion, Chapter 13. What's the problem? Be quick.
We've been getting complaints.
We are number one university in the UK for complaints. It's our unique selling point. Complaints about what?
I just told you. For a start, complaints from our home and EU students about the fact that they're outnumbered 4-1 on some courses by our new international cohort.
Globalisation. Been there, done that.
Also, the Chinese students are complaining that they only ever see other Chinese students, so they might as well be in Shanghai.
Oh, don't we have a complaints process and policy?
Yes, I'm the complaints officer.
Well, then put the complaints through the complaints process and stop bothering me.
I have, that's why I'm here. The complaints have been through informal verbal, informal written, formal stage one and formal stage two.
Excellent. So now they're in the AKA long grass.
By no means. The complaints process has concluded that Haber University must fulfil its part of the educational contract and give all students an excellent experience of our culture.
We'll take them on a day trip to Stonehenge.
That'll cost a small fortune.
They're paying us a large fortune.
One field trip won't be enough.
It's not a field. That's Glastonbury. Get buses, red London buses. Enlist the assistance of marketing. Get some shots of them fraternising with hippies, New Agers, bailiffs and friendly police. Karen, it's your job to have these ideas, not mine. My role is strategic.
I was trying to tell you earlier.
In my informed academic opinion, I don't think a trip to Stonehenge is adequate or equal to the rightful needs or expectations of our students.
My dear Dr. Spitznogle, you may not be aware of the fact that Stonehenge is in fact a complicated timepiece and calendar on the lines of a Swiss submersible watch.
We could go to Cheddar on the way.
Not satisfactory. We need a much broader programme of events and experiences.
Taste some cheese?
We need to address the full range of issues as outlined in the latest recommendations of Office of the Independent Adjudicator. I've sent you an electronic copy if you're able to access or understand email, given your obvious incompetence.
How dare you talk to me about competence?
I meant him.
You're nothing but a jumped-up sycophant.
Maybe, but I think I know the right people to whom to crawl.
Yes, wait. Enough, little Miss Spitznogle. No offence intended, but when it comes down to it, what you think is of no interest or importance to me whatsoever.
You seem to forget my connections.
You were a crony of the old VC.
Yes, and you and your blotchy legs mean nothing to me.
I have other powerful allies.
I've watched you ingratiating, but I'm makeshift, and I intend to make things shift.
Thank you. I think we understand each other.
I beg your pardon, but no one understands me.
I'll see you at senior management team tomorrow.
How was that for a get-to-know-you meeting?
Not a good enemy to make, Jim.
You started it. Why is she at senior management team? She's only complaints officer.
But she is also head of strategy and mission.
Where does it say that?
On the website. Responsible for assisting the Vice-Chancellor in developing future directions and priorities.
So I could have asked her advice about strategy?
Yes.
Oh, damn.
But you asked me instead.
Yeah, that's true. That's very true.
New leaders bring in their own fresh teams.
Yes. I think it's about time I showed everyone who's boss at Habra.
So, Dr. Spitznogle, you still think we can save the pull-through deal with Habra?
I'm absolutely certain, so long as my invaluable input is rewarded with some kind of permanent and lucrative position in the new conglomerate.
Good. Then in that case, I think we can do business.
Oh, is that your throwing arm?
So, my dear colleagues, those are my strategic plans and priorities. I take your silence as a sign of overwhelming approval. So, let's move on.
Wait, I think you've misread the mood and response of the senior management team.
How can one misread a bovine and total lack of response?
We were ignoring you as a sign of belittlement and lack of faith.
That's right.
It's totally contemptible.
Right. No confidence whatsoever.
Yeah.
And as for your plans, such as they are, they seem very ordinary.
They are based on thorough research of and insight into the international HE context.
Excellence and globalization. It's not exactly groundbreaking.
Could you do any better?
Of course. But you didn't involve me in the discussion. In fact, I was positively excluded.
Why should I include you?
Because I'm head of strategy.
Ah. Did I tell you I'm also going to restructure roles and responsibilities?
What about my job?
I'm nearing retirement.
Quiet, the lot of you. Let me introduce you to Karen Poynter, our new head of, what was it?
Policy and enforcement.
I'd call that the unashamed new broom syndrome of someone promoted beyond their capacity, introducing new roles with meaningless titles to bolster your insecurities.
And, Dr. Spitznogle, you will become liaison officer for scruffy and poorly resourced further education colleges.
But I've got no experience of further education.
That didn't stop you with your strategy role.
And if you really don't want to act as FE liaison, you can always tender your resignation.
You can't talk to me like that.
Why not complain?
Very good. Yes, complain, why don't you? Complain to yourself. While you've still got the chance.
This is outrageous.
You can't talk to people like that.
Absolutely disgusting.
I'll complain about the lot of you.
Won't stop.
In the strongest possible. Oh, if only you really knew how much I loathe you all.
Oh, my God.
Did someone speak?
Gordon Mason. our usually repressed, introverted and immaculately turned out finance director, whose support is essential for our success.
Ah, Gordon, old friend, what's the matter?
Can we please return to a respectful and collegial discussion?
Just what I was about to say myself.
Let Gordon speak. He is always the voice of cool reason and sanity.
And impervious to toadies like you.
I don't know why Gordon wasn't appointed makeshift vice-chancellor.
Because he can't handle personal relationships.
And your Jim is so much better.
Better than you.
He's not.
Is.
Not.
Is.
Not.
Is.
Please, please. May I speak, makeshift vice-chancellor?
Of course you can.
First, let me say that I have read your new strategic proposals with great interest.
Oh, thank you very much.
I was a little surprised not to have been consulted beforehand.
Didn't you consult him?
No. Keep your nose out, please. Well, Gordon, you've got your chance to stick your oar in now, so stop bitching and do your job, you cold-blooded cretin.
Thank you, makeshift vice-chancellor. It makes no odds if I was consulted or not, because, as everyone knows, I'm a calm and peaceful man, and I do what's best for the university without personal feeling or rancor.
Yes, yes, yes. Calm reason, blah, blah, blah. You are indeed the rock on which we erect our, yes, Karen?
Erections.
Thank you.
So, if I may ask one tiny question.
Oh, God, yes. Please, just get on with it.
Have you costed these plans?
He hasn't. You can tell he hasn't. Look at his face. What a knobhead.
No, I haven't costed the plans, not in detail, because as a believer in consensus...
And primus inter pares.
Yeah, good. I wanted to ensure buy-in across the entire community beforehand.
Entirely reasonable.
Well, I have had your plans costed.
Good, thank you. That's what you paid for as finance director, so I believe.
My conclusion is that your plans are totally unrealistic.
With all due respect, Stonehenge is open all year round. We can stagger the visits and...
And do some cheese tasting in the vicinity. An hour in Glastonbury or a bit of Jane Austen.
Totally, financially unrealistic.
Gordon, with the greatest respect in the world, if a man, or a woman, for that matter, has the soul of a cash register, he or she will hardly appreciate the value of culture.
Don't keep insulting him. We need him on our side.
Oh, I can't help it. He's so kickable.
Please, let me lay out our position with icy clarity.
Of course.
Yes, of course.
You keep copying what he says.
At least I don't spittle when I giggle.
You have recruited 4,796 Chinese students.
I have indeed.
With my assistance.
4,000 cash cows.
That's our problem in a nutshell.
It's not a problem. It means we're rolling up to our buttocks in Chinese... What's the currency?
Renminbis.
Renminbis. Thank you. And we could virtually buy Stonehenge and the Great Wall of China if we wanted.
No, that's not precisely true.
Yes, it is. I've got it signed off in black and white. And a back scratcher in the form of a leaping dragon.
You signed these students up via an agent, a certain Ms. Lu. Oh,
yes. Oh, Lord, how many splendid. I harbour neither grudge nor regret. The finest recruiting agent in all of China, what of it?
When I came to examine the contract you signed with Ms. Lu...
Mr. Lu, as it transpired.
Leave that aside.
Leaving that aside, I note that you have agreed to pay 70% of the students' fees direct to Ms. or Mr. Wendy Lu's company.
So? The past is another country.
That means that once overheads are taken into account, far from yielding a profit, every Chinese student brought in under this arrangement will cost us £2,142 a year.
Golly gosh, that's worse than even I imagined.
Let alone the cost of the fishery project and the new dry dock.
Oh, yawn. That's accountant speak. Accountants can always put a spin on things.
I've had the calculations examined and agreed by our auditors.
What if we just show them Stonehenge from the A303?
No good. I've costed that too. And the trouble is, makeshift vice-chancellor, I've set up all our budgets on the basis of the massive income from those international students.
So there's a shortfall?
You stay out of this.
I'd call it a massive shortfall.
How much?
Hard to say exactly, but probably around 20 million.
Borrow, borrow, borrow.
We've exceeded our limits, I'm afraid. We've maxed our credit card.
Oh, well, in that case, Massive redundancies.
What were other promises?
We promised no redundancies.
You said our jobs will be safe.
I have a suggestion that may save us.
Yes, thank you, but the day I need your help will be the day I am no longer fit for office.
Today could be that day.
Betrayed by the faint-hearted.
Might it make sense to at least listen to what Dr. Spitznogel has to say?
Nope, that way lies madness.
We can quite easily save everything.
No, thank you.
So, you put your personal pride above the interests of Haber.
Good afternoon.
Where's he
Jim?
Going?
Jim, wait.
Oh, Karen, what are we going to do?
You shouldn't have walked out. They're all fermenting revolt behind your back.
All right, then, let's go back.
No, that's even worse. Look, chapter 15...
Never go back.
That's right.
Oh, then I'm completely buggered.
Hang on, wait a minute.
What?
An email. Good news!
Oh, thank the Lord, what?
After a thorough and justified reassessment of their submissions, all our valued Chinese student colleagues have now passed their first assignment.
We have them remarked.
No, you don't understand. We've had them remarked. They've all passed now.
Well, have them remarked again.
Why?
Oh, keep up, woman. We need them to fail. Because, Karen, our darling Chinese students, far from bringing in funds, are actually costing us money. That's what Gordon just told us, didn't he?
Oh, I see.
Oh, I hear a distant penny dropping. What's Dr. Spitznogel's extension number?
8796. So, they've all got to fail now?
Yes, keep up. We need to get shot of the lot of them. So I need you to fail even the ones who passed, and then alert the border agency. Get them on a plane. Sayonara, bye-bye.
Okay, I'm on to it.
Thank you, yes. Extension 8796, please.
I'm glad you've seen sense.
And that's not all I've seen under various tables.
I'm here to help. You can ask me anything.
Ooh. Are they your bare legs, or are you wearing pale blotchy tights?
Flesh colour support hose. How are your international students?
I'm pleased to report that the so-called Chinese problem is now solved, and all 4,700 students are on their way back to whence they came on a variety of specially chartered cheap airlines with inadequate insurance.
So, we're a laughing stock.
On the contrary. It shows the rigour of our processes.
But that doesn't solve the deficit problem.
I believe that's where you indicated you might have some expertise.
It could have been so, so easy if you'd listened to me before.
I'm listening now, with both my ears.
How you could have thought of trusting that Karen woman.
Ah, chapter 9. Use, not trust.
But you don't use doo-doo to polish a Daimler.
Now look, can we cut the hindsight and move on from where we are?
The simple answer has got to be pull through.
Been there, done that.
No, Jim. I really don't think you have.
Well, can pull through and liver salt save me?
Yes, of course.
Oh, thank God.
But Hamilton Liversalt III is a proud man, and you treated him with extreme shabbiness.
Well, I take it all back.
That might not be enough. You really need the help of someone intimate with Hamilton.
You?
Possibly.
What do you want?
Well, that's fairly straightforward.
So, all the Chinese are back on the planes, and we've refunded all their fees and paid a substantial fine to the border agency.
Karen, it's not about our Chinese friends that I need to speak to you.
What is it, then?
Restructure and downsizing.
I'll draw up a plan.
No, there's no need, because we're talking about restructuring your role.
Gulp.
It's simply a logical application of horses to courses.
You're re-promoting that Spitznogel woman again.
Not promotion, Karen. Merely a series of opportune sideways shifts. And so I am delighted to announce the appointment of Dr. Flaherty Spitznogel to the role of Head of Development, Policy, Enforcement, and International Junkets, while Ms. Karen Poynter moves to the esteemed and valued areas of disability, widening participation, complaints, drainage, sewers, and liaison with scruff-arsed further education colleges.
Very pleased to meet you again, Professor Blunt.
In which time you've been pow-wowing behind my back with my minions.
When I was a quarterback, just before the near-fatal injury that prevented me making the NFL draft, I found that one can learn more from the bench players than you can from the head coach. It's a matter of drilling down.
I don't hold a grudge.
Nor I, Professor Blunt, because I'm a very good winner. Here are several photo opportunities where I'm commiserating on the field with opposition whom I have regally shafted.
Interesting. Your book has been an inspiration to me.
We all have our weaknesses, and sometimes it takes a little while to find them.
We need rich students, very able, plenty of money.
And I can guarantee you a limitless supply.
What's the catch?
I like to call our operations, unlike my touchdown passes, catchless. Huh? You win, we win, the city wins, the nation wins, the students win.
How does it work?
We offer courses that people want to do at a price they can afford.
What about staffing?
We use cheap zero-hour contract bods, desperate for work.
What about the unions?
We don't have a unionized labor force. It contravenes our liberal principles.
Won't this be in competition to our own existing courses?
Oh, no. No, no, no. We recruit a very special kind of student.
I don't want any more Chinese.
China is old hat. Pull through is proud of its reach.
Good. Where?
Islamic State. Very now. Somali pirates, sons of warlords, plainclothes Russian oligarchs, Colombia drug barons.
Excellent.
And we deliver a whole raft and tranche of international, national, and local research partnerships, businesses, placements, internships, links, collaborations, ventures here. Behold my iPad.
I'm not a detailed person. Let's just get it done. Well,
naturally, we need to sign a legally binding agreement.
Of course. We're not amateurs.
Of course you're not. I expect you've got the keenest legal minds working for you. Just like you've got the best chefs and waiters working in this, your canteen.
At Haber, we insist on certain standards across all our activities. It's part of our articles of governance.
So, we will jointly own the new company called Hayborough Pull-Through.
Haber's spelt O-U-G-H.
Not in our partnership. Now, that's what makes it distinctive. Or is that a deal-breaker?
Not at all. And we share all the profits?
And the costs, of course.
Of course.
Fantastic. And shall we clasp our hands in a slight variation of a normal handshake?
Here is my hand, snaking across the formica table surface.
Sign here, my friend.
Done. Thank the Lord. All safe.
Not quite.
Where did you spring from?
Flapperty is a trusted colleague.
You're angling for some job with the consortium, no doubt.
Did you not read in the agreement you just signed on page 72 that I become consortium relationship liaison manager with immediate effect?
Jim, aren't you delighted?
Congratulations, Dr. Spitznogel.
The next step is to get the agreement countersigned by our finance officer.
Gordon? He'll never buy it.
I think he might.
And meanwhile, Hamilton, you could give our staff that blue sky creativity workshop you promised.
The key to creativity is the recognition that we all have our own role in the creative team. Now, some of us are thrusters, some boosters, some wild, flighty ideas types, organizers, thinkers, shirkers.
Oh, when will this ever end?
I think it's good. I've learned a lot.
So, now, in your pairs, can you please try to establish where each of you are on the bleeding obvious team role metric scale?
Jim, should we pair up?
I suppose so.
Jim, why are you sitting with her?
Yeah, I'm not.
You are?
Not anymore. Karen, leave us.
Oh, of course. I'll go and widen some participation.
How long does it take Gordon to read a precious document?
He's thorough.
And that's what worries me.
You have nothing to worry about.
If only Gordon would sign it, so I can be warm and safe and protected by the Pull-Through Corporation and the gleaming gimlet eyes of Liversalt.
Shall I analyze you on his bleeding obvious metric scale?
No, thank you. I'm not interested.
I'd say you're a type B with type D trimmings.
What does that mean?
Selfless and thinking entirely of the good of the organization.
Oh, sounds about right.
It does surprise me a bit exactly how selfless you're being.
Selfless? In what sense?
When I got to the section in the pull-through agreement about phased management shift.
Oh, yes, that.
Didn't you read that bit?
Possibly not.
Whereby signing the agreement, Haber agrees to replace the role of vice-chancellor with a chief operating officer appointed through pull-through.
And who is the chief operating officer going to be?
Me!
Gordon! Gordon! We need to talk.
Of
Of course, Jim. I'm on my way to make a speech to the pull-through executive in response to their proposed memorandum of agreement.
That's exactly what I need to talk about.
It's a very clever document they've put together.
The implication being I lose my job.
No, your job is just a detail. If we sign, we agree to have half our governing body from pull-through, sign over a half share in all our assets, allow them access to our course materials, give them disposal rights on our campus and facilities.
Thank goodness we spotted it in time.
In time for what?
We're in time to stop us signing and hence jeopardising the whole future of Haber University as an autonomous body.
You already signed it.
Yeah, but you haven't, have you? Gordon, please.
And now I have to cut short this really stimulating. Thank you so much for taking it seriously on the chin. Creativity Team Roll Workshop in order to welcome Gordon Mason, Finance Director of Haber University, who has an important announcement to make. Yeah!
Hello, everyone! I don't think it's any secret that it would, in the past, have been unusual for me to enter a meeting dancing in the Irish fashion.
In any fashion.
Indeed, indeed. And my reluctance to make any kind of public appearance or announcement has been legendary.
So why start now, Gordon?
Because, Jim, I've finally found friendship. That's the difference. In Hamilton Liversalt III, I have found a buddy who has helped me realize in myself all the things I've never been and could never be till this magical moment. So I am pleased to announce that in my measured and cool estimation, after a process of due diligence, it makes strict and rigorous financial sense to pour all our hard-earned reserves into this risky and unproven pull-through adventure!
He's turned you, the spellbinder.
Oh, diddly 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 diddly.
You finally cracked, you old sausage.
I'm the quarterback, then I see Gordon as the veteran but ever reliable place kicker who converts my six-pointer with the pointy after thereby making it a two-score game. Flappity!
On behalf of the Haber Link, I'd just like to stress that the range of partnerships and venture opportunities offered by pull-through simply cannot be matched anywhere, in any era, by anyone of any nationality or political persuasion.
Gordon, are you getting a massive backhander?
Oh, Jim, I should add that I've also agreed to commissioning a huge new administrative building for Haber pull-through on the site of the current student union. And we're working with the bus company to run shuttles. Oh,
but there's got to be something in it for me.
Glowing reference for your next position.
Very well. But beware the wounded tapir.
All together now, even little children love Mary Ann. Down by the seashore, shifting sand.
Flappity, can you update me on our recruitment situation for October?
Well, it's looking promising.
How many students have we got?
Target 3,000.
Actual?
7,000? No, 7, as in brides for brothers.
That's not very many.
But I think we've turned the corner.
And I think we need to move fast to phase 3 of our operation.
So pull-through has fouled up just as badly as we did on recruitment.
Yes, it looks like it.
Oh, now the boot's on the other, and it's our turn to dance.
I'm not so sure. I've been doing some research into pull-through. They don't have any students anywhere.
What do they have, then?
Oh, Jim, this is too frightening.
But Hamilton, you promised me the world and sunglasses.
If you delivered.
I've done everything a self-obsessed, vain person could do to make this ill-conceived venture work.
Not enough. So now you get your just desserts. May the vengeance of the Lord fall heavy on you. May the tempest blast through these corridors of Gamara.
Gordon? Gordon!
Where is he?
In Ringlitz, she was a nice girl, a proper girl, but one of the roving kind.
Yes, it's good. Get off the stage. We need to talk.
My name isn't Gordon. It's Flatley. And I am going to buy a small holding with Pete's and Spud's in Southern Ireland and train to be a tippity-tappity dancer.
Yeah, excellent. But before you go, might you be persuaded to discharge your duty of care to Haybra one last time?
My friend Liversalt, he's got Irish blood. He's going to introduce me to his family and come and visit me.
Your friend Liversalt has betrayed you.
Don't say that! You're cutting me with hot wires!
He is about to strip all our assets in one foul swoop.
Because he knows best. He has a vision. He likes me. He said what nice cufflinks I wear.
Oh, Gordon, what happened to your innate distrust of human nature?
Listen.
He's our messiah.
Make way for Hamilton Liversalt III, our leader and our messiah.
Hello and welcome, everyone. As we approach the last days, the signs are with us. We've passed the 2-minute warning, and we're now hurtling toward Armageddon. That's why it's essential we implement the pull-through fallback position in the event of our failure to recruit.
Which you have failed to do.
So why not leave us alone and go to some nice place with coffee bars and a shopping mall?
On the contrary. We will now press with all expedience our rights to the properties and assets of Haybara and obtain our equity payback through those resources to the mutual benefit of Haybara pull-through minus Haybara. These are our plans.
What is it?
It looks like a media city.
Well, and there in the amphitheater, what's that?
It looks like a huge wicker person.
A commune. A new settlement. A new vision with Kurdish barbers, fake Italian restaurants, and digital gondoliers. Bring the torches, light the fire!
Yeah, light the fire!
Gordon, do something!
Gordon, aren't you forgetting one thing?
Yes! I need to buy a couple of horse dealer-style cravats!
Nice, but not the cravats. I'm talking about the caveats.
That's some caveats. This sounds like hair splitting and timeless.
On the contrary, caveats sounds promising.
I'm talking about the ancient statutes of governance, Gordon. The ones you invoked 3 years ago to prevent the sale of Haybra to the Russian government for shallow landfill nuclear waste disposal.
That's right.
Didn't you tell Mr. Liversalt, Gordon? Didn't you?
Hamilton, there's one little thing I didn't tell you.
What's that, Gordon?
Well, I should have told you, but I so wanted everything to be nice between us.
Everything is nice between us, Gordon, at the moment.
No, it isn't nice. I lied to you, and best pals shouldn't lie to each other.
What did you lie about, old buddy bro?
The lands and holdings of Haybra University by its ancient institutes of governance as laid down in 1967 by its benefactors, founders, and the local council is by charitable instrument restricted to function only and exclusively as a second-rate educational institution.
So no shopping mall, no Bauhaus flats, no marina?
No, nothing worthwhile or profit-making, not even successful students.
My slick-haired team of advisors, lawyers, and consultants seem to have let me down.
I'm afraid so.
They will suffer later. Gordon, why did you lie to me?
Because I wanted you to be my friend.
Colleagues, collect your pig roasts and follow me.
Hamilton, one thing.
What?
Will you come and visit me in good old County Cork, home of your tap-footed forebears?
I think not, Gordon. I think not.
I'll keep a lantern burning, just in case.
Best of luck, Gordon.
Thank you.
Best of luck in dealing with the very, very bad things that are going to smite you in the very near future. Come.
Such a nice man.
Gordon, maybe you should go and take your clogs off and have a sit down.
Yes. I need to have a look at the seed catalogue.
What a fine mind he once had.
So, everything's shipshape again.
Except the 20 million debt. It seems a shame about the covenant precluding us from producing successful students.
Oh, yes, but let's worry about that when it happens.
There is one thing.
Yes, I could re-employ Dr. Spitznogle.
No, over my dead body. But do you remember Stonehenge?
Yes, Big Stones, Tessa the D'Urbervilles, Solstice, what else?
Well, When the Chinese got repatriated, we'd already ordered 100 coaches and 50 Route Master buses for our field trip.
Oh, something bad coming, something bad coming.
No. Why don't we redeploy those resources?
Start a school bus company?
No. I'm talking about Haber University and Leisure credit-bearing tours.
Ladies and gentlemen, on our left, the Harrogate Royal Pump Room Museum. And it's 5 grade marks if you can work out the connection between Egyptian artifacts, sulfur baths, and Agatha Christie.
So why you gotta act like you know when you don't know? It's okay if you don't know everything.
In Hire, Jim was played by Jonathan Keeble, and Karen by Julia Rounthwaite. Hamilton Liversalt III was played by Andenice James Anthony, Dr. Spitznogel by Emily Piton, and Gordon by Will Tacey. Hire was written by Steve May and was produced in Salford by Gary Brown.
BBC News at 3 o'clock. France has called for an emergency meeting of the UN Security Council over a suspected gas attack in Syria, which is said to have left at least 58 people dead. The EU's top diplomat, Federica Mogherini, has accused the Syrian government of bearing primary responsibility for the attack in the rebel-held town of Khan Shukun. But a member of the Syrian parliament said Damascus didn't use chemical weapons, and Russia has insisted its planes weren't involved in airstrikes near the town. A rescue worker with the Syrian White Helmets, Ishmael Abdullah, described the situation to Al Jazeera television.
They used all kinds of weapons, including cluster bombs. Then in the morning, they used chemical weapons. And now the teams rushed to that location. They saw how the people were suffocating. They saw most of the victims are kids. All the hospitals are crowded.
A Spanish judge has frozen bank accounts and ordered searches of properties associated with the estranged uncle of President Assad of Syria. The National Court in Madrid is investigating Rifat al-Assad using information gathered by prosecutors in France. 8 more people, including a 15-year-old boy, have appeared in court in connection with an alleged attack on a teenage asylum seeker in South London. They're charged with violent disorder. One of them, a 17-year-old boy, is also accused of wounding with intent. 5 other people appeared before Croydon magistrates yesterday. All 13 defendants will appear before Croydon Crown Court next month. Russia's investigative committee has named the person suspected of carrying out the bomb attack on the St. Petersburg metro yesterday. It said Akbarjon Jalilov, a naturalized Russian citizen born in Kyrgyzstan, had also planted a second device on the metro, which was defused by police. A man convicted of domestic violence has been told to inform police about every new relationship he enters into for the next 7 years. Scotland Yard was granted a criminal behaviour order against 30-year-old Kyle Godfrey to protect potential future victims. BBC News.
The British fishing industry has suffered decades of sharp decline during our membership of the European Union. The European Common Fisheries Policy has long been regarded by many as a disaster, both for fishermen and for fish stocks. So will Brexit bring a bright new dawn? Costing the Earth investigates in half an hour. But first, here on BBC Radio 4, it's the return of our culinary panel show. Here's our host, Jay Rayner.
Hello and welcome to a new series of The Kitchen Cabinet, the Radio 4 show that's obsessed with what you put in your mouth. Join us over the next 6 weeks as once again we travel the country scrutinising the annals of food science and history, meeting interesting new foodstuffs and eating them, and all to improve your eating experience. Never say we don't care. Pulling up a pew with me this week in the St. Mary Magdalene Church in London's Bermondsey, my 3 April Fools, Andy Oliver, Sophie Wright and Itmar Srulovic, all daft enough to return after what I fed them last series. And they're joined by a woman for whom mischief in the kitchen is second nature. Earlier I found her with a heap of primitive laxatives that she claimed were just for research purposes. It's our